Today, we are going to start our series called How Relationships Work. And y'all, I had to tell you that, honestly, get ready. Put your seatbelt on, because I've been sitting in this for several months now, and I can't really get to the principles for getting to the relationships that I'm in the middle of, but it's good. I promise you, it's good. God is just teaching me so much as I've started exploring what it really means to relate the way he designed us to relate. And I feel like the thing that he would have me to say first and foremost is that we are going to start with our relationship with God. Because, y'all, if we don't have that in a really well-grounded, connected type of situation, the rest of it's not going to work. That's got to be our starting point. So that's where we're going to start today. And I just want to start by saying that God is relational. God is relational. And so it kind of makes sense to start with him. This whole thing was his idea about relationship. In fact, the very first name, the name Jehovah that he uses, actually is translated relational God. And if you think about it, he's making himself known to his people when he says, I am Jehovah. And he says, and you are my people. It's about relationship. And he, you know, I think that's really cool that he wants to make himself known to us. And he, even though he does know us perfectly, he wants to know us in the context of a relationship. He puts in Scripture the highest priority on relationships. And I'm not going to read this for you because I know you already know it, but what Mark 12, 30 and 31 gives us Jesus' answer to what's the greatest commandment, he tells us is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he goes on to add, and the second is like unto it, that you would love your neighbor as you love yourself. So those three relationships, relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with self. He's saying, he goes on to say in Galatians, and he says it in Romans again, the law is fulfilled in this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14 says that. So we're talking, God thinks this is really important. And so I feel like it's important for us to start really, really looking at the foundations of it. You know, if you think about it, I kind of made people roll their eyes when I said this, and I still kind of roll my eyes when I say it, but people are part of the process. If you think about what is the primary thing God uses in our lives to get our attention and to help us grow, relationships, it's people, it's our peeps. That's who does it for us. It's who he can use, and that's just something that we could all be better at. And, you know, I think as I've thought about his call to love one another and to love others as he has loved us, and thought about how, wow, that sounds impossible. But what's exciting about that is this, is that with every commandment of God, every single thing he tells us to do in Scripture, held within that principle, within that commandment, is a promise. And I'm going to start with a verse that's very, very dear to me. I pray it probably daily. This is a life verse of mine, and it's, I'm going to give you two verses that are together, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And I'm reading from the New American Standard, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this part. This is where you know, but here's the promise part. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. So isn't that great to know? If he's calling you to love your neighbor as you love yourself, he just told us he will bring it to pass. He's the one that called you to do it. He's the one that's going to bring it to pass. And y'all, I can promise promise you, I've tried and tried and tried to do it the other way. That doesn't work very well. It's got to be this way. Let him bring it to pass. And that's what I hope we will embark on this journey together, and letting him teach us about it and letting his power do it through us. So with that, I'm going to do an anatomy lesson today. I don't know if all y'all know, I'm a pharmacist. I'm kind of a little geeky when it comes to study, and I love my studies and my books and everything. So today we're going to do that. I'll put the, for people who like an outline, that was our introduction that we just finished. And now I'm going to do anatomy. I'm going to have a little anatomy lesson. And if you'll look at your paper that has the three diagrams in it, look at the top diagram. It's got, we're going to start at the outside, it's got an outward circle already labeled for you. That's our body. Our body, I have a verse to go with this, and I want you to listen as I give each one of the explanations. I know most of you have heard these concepts before, but what I want you to do is think about it in terms of relationship. Think about it in terms of connection, because it's there, it's in the scripture. And I got so excited when I thought, okay, we're going to go back. And y'all, what I'm about to share with you is the very thing. I saw it in a book probably 20 years ago. And actually, I've corresponded with the author's helper on the World Wide Web. His name's Jack R. Taylor, and he wrote a book called The Key to Triumphant Living. And my mom passed this book off to me about 20 years ago. And these diagrams that I've been using forever came from his book. And if y'all want to order it on the web, it's out there. But he's been gracious enough to give us permission to use them and print them, put them on the web this year. And it's the truth. If you look at this in terms of relationship, if you listen to the verses in terms of relationship, you'll hear it in every single verse. But this is not about information. It's about connecting. So listen to this verse about our body. 2 Corinthians 6:16. For you are, this is about your identity. See, that's a relational thing. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How sweet is that, y'all? He's saying, see that body I made? That's so I can come and live with you. So that's my house, is your body. Okay, so our body connects us to the world around us. That's the outer circle. Then you have the second circle. It's kind of more like a ring, and it's divided into three parts: your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's your soul. Your soul is the thing that connects you to other people. It's our main means of functioning in this world. You know, our decision making comes from the will, our feeling comes from the emotion, our thinking comes from the mind. Those are obvious. And the verse I want to go with that is Hebrews 4:12. And I felt like it was important to make a distinction. Some people think this is splitting hairs to talk about. You know, there are a lot of different words. I did this study one time for heart, soul, and spirit. Because all through the scriptures, when people talk about bringing their life to God, oh, Lord, to you I lift up my life. And in some translations, it's, oh, to you I lift up my soul. Oh, to you I lift up my heart. You know, and so I did the word study on this. And, y'all, there are different words used for each component. And I feel like a great verse to illustrate this is Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God, and I pray this even now, God, that today this would be true for your word as we read it, that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul, and the word for soul is psyche, and spirit, and that word is pneuma, kind of like pneumonia, which means breath. And so what he's saying there is that the word of God comes and divides between those two places in us, the soul and the spirit. So this is our body, obviously. This is our soul. And then this little circle in the middle is our spirit. And I'm going to make it with a little S. You'll notice on all the handouts, it's got a little line under it. So we'll see that it's a little S, because I use a big S when I talk about the Holy Spirit. But the human spirit is the thing we want to focus on. It's the thing that's probably the most atrophied part of most people. And I hate to say this, but you know, I think that's why the body of Christ is pretty anemic in loving. It's because this part of us doesn't function particularly well. And we'll explain why in just a minute. But let me tell you just a few characteristics about your spirit. It's the part that God breathed life into. And a reference for that is Job 33:4. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." So this is the part of you that God created before the beginning of time. And it's the part that we'll live on after time is over. That your spirit will either go to the place of the dead, Sheol, and you'll be separated from God for all of eternity, or it'll go to heaven and be with Him for all of eternity. But it lives forever. And I asked me sometime about my experience this spring. I heard a fabulous teaching on heaven, hell, and spirits by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who teaches on the radio. Y'all, it was so amazing. And it was so, wow, sobering to think that every person that's walking this planet, their spirit will live for all of eternity. It kind of got me motivated, honestly, to do a little more evangelism or to pray for opportunities for evangelism and ask God to use us in that way. Okay, so I did get off track there. But so that's the part that He breathes life into. It's the eternal part, as I just said. It's the same essence as God. It's made up. So you see what He did with Adam in the garden. He formed him from dust. And then He breathed life into him. And it's this very same word. Jesus uses it when He talks to the woman at the well in John 4:24. It says, God is spirit. And that word is pneuma. Same thing, breath. God is spirit. So same as our human spirit. It's the same essence. And this is the most important thing. I want you to know this. I've called it many things in the past, but our spirit is our receiver. This is where we connect with God. This is where we have our spiritual hearing. This is where we have our spiritual seeing. You hear Jesus talk about in Revelation, buy from me eyesalve so that you might see in Revelation chapter 3. We need to pray for him that your eyes might be blessed so that you might see. I pray that for all of us, that we would have blessed eyes. In fact, I pray for that for myself a lot. And y'all, God really will do it if you ask him to do it. So that's where those live. They live in that innermost part of us. Okay, let's talk about, so that was anatomy. Now let's talk about pathology. This is going to be the second diagram. Okay, so what happened? When sin came into the world in the garden, what happened is we died. Our human spirit, this part, became empty. I mean, just like blackout, you know, like how Jack Bauer goes dark, our spirits went dark, right? Okay, and why is that? Because when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were perfectly connected with God. There was perfect connection. Perfect communication. They were in his presence all the time. But at the time of the fall, they were banished from the garden and their spirits no longer had a connection with God. And so that is the definition of death, is to be separated from God. So our spirits were basically dead. What happens if you look at that diagram, and I'm not going to put all the little bumps in it, but there are bumps in this. And this is not a perfect representation, but you can make arrows there. And what happens is a 3Ds. I try to do that so we can remember what happened. The reason it looks like this is disconnection from the true source of life and light and love. So really, any of the real essence of love is not there. Deflection. Disconnection is our major pathology. Deflection. And the reason I say that is because when God's presence was removed, guess what happened? Shame came in. And y'all, shame is the thing that nobody wants. And we do a lot of what we do for shame prevention purposes. We hide, we run, we perform, we do a lot of things to keep pain. We lie, we do. So that's part of our pathology. And then direction. Our lives are no longer lived from the inside out like they were in the garden, but they are shaped by that outside world. And I'm going to give you four W's. W is world. The first one is the world. We're shaped, even if you're brought up in a Christian home, before you receive Christ at salvation, you're shaped by what you see on television, what you hear the kids on the playground say, what your teacher said to you, the culture of your church, the culture of your school, the culture of your neighborhood. We're shaped by the outside forces because we're living mainly from our mind and from our feelings and from what we decide that we think about those. Wounds is the second W. And this pen is not working very well, is it? I'll just say it. Wounds are the result of sin. Sin leads to wounding, whether that's somebody sinning against us or us committing sin. It impacts us negatively. And then warfare, the Bible tells us that, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It tells us that in Ephesians 6. So we've got the enemy of our soul that is constantly harassing us and telling us lies. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It tells us in the book of John. And then I'm going to add works to this because, y'all, this may be the most potent tool of Satan for people who love God is works, a works mentality instead of a grace mentality. That somehow because we've lived in a world that is merit-based, and so our thoughts are infiltrated with merit-based thinking. We think our works are what make us worthy to be loved by God, and that's a lie. So those are some things that shape our lives. But when we come to know Jesus, he indwells our hearts through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It says in John 3, 5 through 7 in the New Living, Jesus says, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." So I'm just wanting to say that verse to you to reiterate that the spiritual life that we all desire, the one that's the kind of life that Christ lived on this world, can only be birthed by the Holy Spirit. And that his living in our heart is the way we do this. And so he comes to live in us, and relationship is the way anything is born, if you think about it. You know, it's whether it's a plant, an animal, or even in the spirit realm, it really is the natural world is just a picture of the supernatural or the spiritual world. The relationship is required to birth the things that we want. And so God, though, when he gives us the Holy Spirit, he restores that spirit-to-spirit connection that we had in the garden. So let's talk a little bit now about physiology.
I always feel so smart.
I'm so glad, Dana. Okay, let's look at our third diagram. Okay, so what's going to happen here is that while we're still living in this world, if we put Jesus in control of our lives, if we give him his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if we choose to do what Galatians 5 tells us to do, he says, "Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh," it says in Galatians 5:17. What happens is a lot of really cool stuff. I'm just going to name two things, but you can see the whole direction thing changes. With the Holy Spirit in the center and in control, the direction of our lives changes, and we live life as an overflow of his indwelling of us. So what happens is, where we were here, our lives were pretty gory. Here, glory is an option. Christ in me is my hope of glory, it says in Colossians 1:27. So our directions change, and our glory means that we become reflection of God's glory. And I love this verse. I'm going to put with that. It says in Romans 5:2, and this is from a new translation that I enjoy and called The Voice. And you too can enjoy it on BibleGateway.com. Jesus says in Romans 5:2, The Voice, Jesus leads us into a place of radical grace where we are able to celebrate the hope of experiencing God's glory. Do y'all know a synonym for the word grace is relationship? So through relationship, through radical relationship, that he would take messed up, gory people like us and come and live inside of us, he will turn our lives upside down. We can live inside out. We can experience his glory. We can reflect his glory. And not only can we be a reflection. Oh, about to misspell that word. We can have affection. I just had to do that to make it rhyme. Y'all, sorry about that. And that may be harder to remember, but if you remember the rhyme, you can. Okay, here is the really, really exciting news. I want y'all, if you don't remember another thing I say today, this is another verse that I pray all the time. It's Romans 5:5. And I'm going to read it from the New Living, and it says this: For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So do you hear that? We don't have to do anything. We have to obey, and we'll talk about that as we go. We have to stay connected. But what he's saying to us there is, it's already happened. The love of God in the person of the Holy Spirit is living inside that human spirit. It's there. He has, past tense, poured it out into your heart. So we're going to be talking about some of these things as we go that I mentioned, those W's, the world, the wounds, the warfare, the works. Some of those things, even though Jesus is living there, even though the direction of our life has changed, it's just like the picture of the children of God when they went into the promised land. Yeah, that's just a picture of the Spirit-filled life. They won. It was theirs. It was the promised land. It was theirs. They were in there. But they had some strongholds of the enemy, pockets of the enemy that they had to go out after they already got it, after they were already in, after they already held the title. Then there was a battle and a battle and a battle. As they did it, as thus saith the Lord, guess what? God led them in victory. He always leads us in victory and triumph in Christ. So that, to me, is a powerful verse, and I'm going to write it on the board for him. It's 5-5. I pray that so often because I can just say, Lord, I know you say that that's what counts is loving. That's the main thing on your heart is love. So thank you that you, instead of begging him to love better through me, which I do that too, but really a more powerful and faith-filled prayer would be, Lord, thank you that you've already poured out your love into my heart. Would you take that love by the power of your Holy Spirit, and would you pour it out through me into every person that I meet today? Would you pour that love out over the telephone when I pick up this phone call? Would you, as I go to see this sick person or this person that's suffering, would you let them sense your love? You don't have to say it. You don't have to say, I love you or God loves you, but it's there and it's powerful. So anyway, just loving me some Romans 5:5. And I did want to mention a couple of things about what happens here too, is that when we have God filling our heart, what he does is he meets our needs. He satisfies. I think I prayed that, but we talked about how those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That, you know, I'm very aware of my hunger about a lot of things. You know, about 12:50, my stomach's going to be growling, and I'm going to be really, really aware that I'm hungry for some physical food. I'm hungry to see my daughter that I haven't seen for over a month. I'm hungry to buy a new outfit. You know, just there's a lot of things that I can tap into that I have a desire and a hunger for. But y'all, most of those aren't really needs. They're desires, and I think those are important. But what I want to talk about now is our needs. God will satisfy our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, it tells us in Ephesians. No, that's Philippians 4:19. And the two needs I want to mention, this is a new way for me to say this, and I loved it because it's kind of one of our key words for this time. Two needs that he will meet is our need for connections. Nobody else has to participate to get this need met. How great news is that? God will meet that need according to his riches and glory. And but I did want to say, I found this description of what it means to have that longing and that need to connect, and I wanted to share it with you. I got it. I have written this down from a book by Dan Allender, and it says, it's an inborn appetite for unity, for being drawn to another and intertwined in his soul, and for being fully known and accepted despite our flaws. It is a desire to belong. Now, who in here can say, you know what, that's what I really, really want. That's what I really want. So that's our one need, and that's Jesus' prayer for us. If you see him before he goes to the cross, in John 17, one of the last things he did was pray for us. He prayed for the ones that he was leaving behind, and he said, not just for them, but for those that are in this room and all those in the church today. In John 17:23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So did you hear what Jesus prayed? He said, hey, the same way you're in me, God, is the way I want them to experience me in them through the Holy Spirit. Just exactly the same. And that we would know that God loves us the exact same way he loves Jesus. Y'all, that's massive. Jesus prayed that. Do you think God's going to answer his son's prayer? I do. That gives me something to springboard off of right there to go, okay, wait a darn minute. Wait just a stinking minute. Jesus, you're saying that you want me to know that God loves me the same way he loved you? Yep, that's what I said. Okay, so I say let's start asking that we would know that. And knowing is not just knowing to look it up on the page on John 17:23. I'm talking about really know it. Okay, the second thing we need is to make a contribution. So two C's for our legitimate needs, to make a contribution. And I'm going to read what Allender said about that. He said, to make a difference that is beyond ourselves, to enter the world with a kind of presence and power that see beauty and goodness grow as a result of our existence. He says, contribution that we all long to make, that we need this, y'all. This is not just a wish. This is not just on my wish list. God made this built-in need inside of us, and he's going to meet it as we learn to connect with him in relationship. Okay, so let me just say connect, 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 connect. So what he's going to do as we let him live in us and through us is make a difference that is beyond ourselves. Y'all want to make a difference that's beyond yourself? I do. And to enter the world with the kind of presence and power that see beauty and goodness grow as a result of our existence. Wow. Isn't that great, y'all? I'm signing up for that. Y'all can sign up too. And a verse to go with this, Romans 8:17 in the New Living says, since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For everything God gives to his son, Jesus, is ours too. We share his glory. So that's that glory we were talking about. That was Romans 8:17, New Living. So the bottom line here is that y'all, we're no longer disconnected from God. Sin separated us from God. We were born into the world in a sinful state. We were separated from God. But God sealed us with his Holy Spirit when Christ came to live in our heart. And so we don't have to live disconnected anymore. And what I love that Peter writes is this verse. 1 Peter 1:18 says this. You were redeemed from that empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. So y'all, this place inside of us that used to be empty and dark, that's been redeemed. And listen to this verse, because this really does describe this overflow thing that I'm drawing here on the board. It says this, and I'm going to read it from the King James. It's John 7:38, talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his belly will flow rivers of living water." From that hungry place inside of you, from that place that's hungry and thirsty for more than what you're living, for love, for connection, for contribution. He who believes in me, from his belly, from that empty place, it can become full and satisfying. Okay, let's talk about the remedies. I dispense remedies in my day job, but I really enjoy doing it better in my passion job. Say this verse, James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Does that sound like there was any kind of a like question in your mind about what he's going to do if you would draw near to him? What's he going to do? Draw near to us. Do you believe that? Do you believe God tells the truth? I do too. I find myself day after day, I'll get my little dose of Jesus and then I'll go on about my business. But what I want to do is more than that. I want to do the draw near and stay connected thing. I want to remain in him like Jesus talked about. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, I want to give just a little bit of a testimony about how I've been in church all my life. I received Christ as a little girl, 10-year-old girl, 11-year-old girl, I guess. I love the Bible. I know not everybody does, and you probably think that's weird that I did. But I did. Nobody told me to memorize Bible verses. I just did it. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I knew a lot of stuff. But for most of my life, y'all, it didn't really mean anything other than information. And so, I would get real excited. And God, I know God knew my heart. It says in the Bible, 1 Samuel 16:7, that God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outside of the man. Yes, he sees what we look like. And yes, he sees our outward behavior. But what he really cares about is our heart. And so I know he saw the heart of that little girl and that grown woman, that young mother, who really wanted to love, but y'all, I wasn't doing a very good job at it. And it still makes me so sad to think of all the years that I didn't really love with the love of God. You know, so because what I would do would be I would see the latest book about child rearing, or I'd see the latest book about marriage, or I'd hear the latest speaker, and they would talk about the way they did it. In fact, I had it up to Becky Chirabassi, and no, Becky, if you're listening, God bless your ministry, but she talked about signing a contract that you would meet with Jesus for 1 hour every day for the rest of your life. And, y'all, it was really cool. People did it. I mean, it was really cool. I felt led of God to do it. That's the best I had at the time. But here's what I would do just as a trend is I would read the latest book. I would hear the latest speaker. I would get the latest program or protocol, if we're on the medical terminology. I would find a protocol. And it would kind of work for a while, y'all. It would kind of work. There was freshness with it. It was newness with it. But what would happen, y'all, is that it would start getting dry. It just somehow, it wasn't, because here's what it was. It was a protocol. And y'all, relationships are not about protocols. Relationships are about people. God is not a protocol. He's a person. And he has a name, and he has lots of names that he wants to reveal to you. And so I want us to take about three giant steps back, and let's really kind of almost for the sake of point. My husband told me a long time ago, Kathy, quit reading all those books. I didn't listen to him. But I really kind of, y'all, I kind of have quit reading so many books. And what I do a lot, and I felt like this is the Lord wanted me to just kind of pull back the curtain and just say, I've kind of quit doing my morning routine. You know, forever I'd say to the kids, and they finally got mad at me and saying, Mom, quit saying morning routine. So I say, which means make up your bed, put up your pajamas, brush your teeth, get your book bag together. Have you done your morning routine? And they go, stop saying that, Mom. So I'd say, have you done your morning stuff? And they'd say, just say routine. Yeah. So anyway, so either do, you know, instead of doing my morning routine or my morning stuff with Jesus, what I quit doing that, y'all. I've really kind of quit doing that. Here's what I'm going to tell you, the three things that I do. One thing I do is I do, like, I want us to look at it as a relationship, like a marriage or a friendship or a relationship with an adult child or whatever. Okay, that, don't you want one-on-one time with the people that are closest to you? I do. There's nothing better than to get with somebody and you just think, I just don't have enough time to cover all the subjects I've got. Well, you know what? I want us to have that kind of freshness in our time with Jesus. You can have that, y'all, but it doesn't work if it's a program or a protocol. So to do the kind of same little, go through your little list every day. So I've kind of quit doing that. The verse I wanted to go with that is this one. I love this verse. This is kind of a new verse to me. Proverbs 8:34 says this, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. Y'all, let's do that. Let's go watch and listen and wait on God. That's using those spiritual, inside your spirit faculties. Okay, so let's do that. Because our knowledge has got to be connection-based. It's got to be relationship-based. If it's a Bible verse and there's no connection, it's just, there's a verse that says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So, again, we want it to be that way. The second thing I want to mention in terms of our connection, the remedy is connection, is, so that's daily time alone is a D. Which one of these pens writes is the question. I'm going to put down daily. And then I'm going to put during the day as a second D. And okay, here's the fun thing. Do y'all know the verses about secret place? Do y'all know songs about secret place? Well, I've put them on your yellow page. There's all kinds of cool verses about the secret place of God's presence. During the day, you know how, like, it's just kind of not that different from having a text message where somebody's just touching base with you and just checking in with you and just saying hi to you or just sending a smiley face to you. It's kind of like that, except for I kind of hate to use that on God, but it's the same concept. It's just like you're just staying connected. It's just like, oh, I hadn't touched base with my daughter who lives out of state today. I'm just going to say hi. That's what your secret place is. It's a place where you kind of stop the presses for just a minute and you go to your secret place. And it's not like a quiet time, and it's not like I'm going to get on my face and pray. It's like I just want to get in touch with God and just know he's here right now. And I want him to see me loving on him too. So you've got verses on your paper about secret place. And then the last thing I want to say, and this is stuff, this is one that he initiates. This is my favorite. Divine appointments. So daily time alone, during the day, going to your secret place, and then divine appointments. And this is where I want to pray blessings over our eyes and over our ears and over our hearts to recognize those moments. Y'all, God is loving on you all the time. But so many times, I think sometimes we write stuff off as, oh, that was a happy coincidence. Oh, that was so cool that that happened. Oh, I'm so glad I ran into so-and-so. Y'all, I personally believe that God is sovereign and that it says, you know, God, and I don't know the reference, I'm just saying this off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it's in the book of Psalms or Proverbs, about God has ordained our steps. You know what? He is really good at putting things in your pathway to encourage your heart or to get a message through to you. Divine appointment. So those are things that'll give you that sense of connection that he's reaching out to you during the day and he's loving on you. One just tiny example of that is this last week I wrote a blog about the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm sitting in church on Sunday and the pastor just kind of almost stops in mid-sentence. It was in our worship guide about the fruits of the Spirit are, you know, that passage was in the worship guide. And went, oh, that's so cool, God, you know, that you did fruits of the Spirit in the worship guide. And so then he's talking, and it's almost like he just interrupted the sermon and just said, how do we get fruits of the Spirit to grow in our home? And I just went, hey, I see you, God. I see you seeing me, God. That just blessed my heart so much. So anyway, that's just an example. Another example is yesterday I really wanted to swim outside. And I knew they had already closed the pool. But there was something in me that just when I'm driving over to the pool to swim yesterday afternoon, I said, God, can I just please swim outside one more time? And I walked out there and two ladies were sitting out there. And I said, is this pool open? And they said, mm-hmm. And their little boy was getting in and out. And I thought, I'm swimming in the love of God right now. So anyway, those are just things that I just would encourage you to believe for those, for to take the time to just ask him to do that in you and through you. And I want to end with this verse, and it's Song of Solomon 8, verse 6 from the Message. And I say this just by means of encouragement about anything. I'm just going to tell you, the world and the one that wars against our soul doesn't want you to get this. He wants you to go back to that empty way of life. So I'm just going to say to you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, 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 nothing can separate you from the love of God. And this says the same thing. It's just a new way to say it. Song of Solomon 8, 6, the Message. Love is invincible. Facing danger and death, passion laughs at the terrors of hell. The fire of love stops at nothing. It sweeps everything before it. Floodwaters can't drown love. Torrents of rain can't put it out. Love can't be bought. Love can't be sold. It's not to be found in the marketplace. But it is to be found in connection. So let me say a prayer for us. And then we're going to have a listening song, and you can write your one thing during that, okay? And then we'll, after that, if you can stay for group, we'll divide up and talk about getting to know each other, talk about what we're going to be doing in the future, and pray for each other, okay? So let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you that you draw us with your loving kindness. Thank you that you already have poured out your love into our hearts and that it's in there, Lord. Thank you that your love is stronger than death or any other thing that wants to keep us from experiencing that. Thank you, Lord, that greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. And so right now, I just thank you, Father. I declare your love over each heart. I rebuke Satan. I rebuke hatred and separation and jealousy and wounds and lies and spirits of death. Father, I just thank you and speak the name of Jesus over each one of us. And I praise you, God, that your name is powerful and that at your name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. And so, Father, we just bow before you as holy and Lord in our hearts, and we just commit to letting you love yourself through us, because that's the only way we'll ever do it. And just ask it in Jesus' name.